majority here, we know each other, and I serve here in St. Andrews. I've been here long enough, and though I may have been serving mainly in the French service and also in the other side, in the main sanctuary, but once in a while I used to be invited to come here, and this today is also a pleasure to me to come and minister with us. And it is always a pleasure whenever I go to minister, I am always accompanied, unless there are exceptions. And my dear half is here. So, glory to God. Yeah, this girl you see here, we have been together for the last 41 years. And we keep growing younger every day. Today, I was told we have this topic, the wisdom of seeking help. And I really prayed that the Lord gives me what to say. And though I'm not an expert of consulting, I have taken my priority to consult with this one. And really, that one, we are at par, we work together. But as we know, mankind has been created a social being. In that way that we are wired to relate to our maker and also to relate to one another human being in our society. These two levels of relationships are very important and give meaning and value to the life we live. But in terms of priority, relating to God, our Maker, comes first, and it is backed up by our relationship with fellow human. A right relationship with God always requires a right relationship with mankind, your neighbor. And this is what Jesus said, responding to an answer of a so-called learned Pharisee, even a teacher of the law, who wanted to trap him and say, what is the greatest commandment? It is found in Matthew 22, 37 to 39. And Jesus answered, love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and also love your neighbor as yourself. So he didn't put aside any relationship between mankind. Yes, it is important to relate with God, but also noticeable and important equally to relate with mankind. We relate to God in worship, as we have been enjoying the worship. This month, the first session of worship, I really felt the presence of God, and I like it. And we relate to God also in prayer, in praise, in studying his word, and obeying his instructions. But we also relate with other human guided by the word of God and the law, or in some context, in the constitution of the land where we live. So our choices in both relationships always have consequences, either for approval by God, by authorities, or by rebuke. One example, actually, in Isaiah 29, verse 13. And this was also quoted by Jesus in Mark 7, 6 to 7, where he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. This simply says that God cannot be cheated because he knows everything that goes on in our hearts and mind. The writer of Proverbs, especially the one we read, 14 verse 12, he says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death." My own experience when I was young, I met the Lord at around 23 years. I had finished high school. I was fortunate to find a job, though moving, and the third one was the best one. But while I was in the second one, temptations, because I was, the first one, I really started with a basic salary, very low, and I was disciplined because of economical reasons. The second one, it is more than double and a half, and then I was introduced to bars and all that goes along. And in 2 years, where really I drank almost on a daily basis, I think I drank all that was needed all my life. So in 2 years, I had gone extreme until we were betting and I could finish 12, a crate like this, and still stand and escort those others rolling and come back to drink more. So it was really a bad choice. And yet, when I reflected back in my youth as I was growing, I had a purpose in my mind. I would serve God. Even I had applied when I was in class 6 to go for a seminary to be a Catholic priest. But it didn't succeed because of I was counseled to dissuaded out of that by interested parties. And then I thought I messed up. I have to come back to right track. But my own advice to myself couldn't really lead me far because the peer pressure. We were 6 guys who had gone to the same school and we were working in the same company and we had booked a table which is hexagon, 6 place like this. And whenever we come to that bar, whoever is seated there has to vacate because the owners have come. So if I want to change, I have to move away from that company. And that is what the Lord brought to happen. It happened, I lost my job, and then I prayed for the first time, personal prayer. God, I am looking for a job, but please, let me not find it in this city. Take me away. And it happened. And coincidentally, that period of time, I had met a friend who is still my friend. And we were in Yambia, Soma Biblia. And I bought my first Bible and a hymn book. And I was invited to attend a Protestant church. Then from there, I went looking for a job in a different town in the south. And I found a job offer of my qualification, my experience, and I was the only candidate. And we waited for a week. Another one came. We did the interview. We were 2 of us. We did the same school, but he came after 2 years after me. And during the interview, I was teaching him. So I qualified beyond what was required, I was given the job. And it is where the Lord found me now, in that other town. The situation was conducive, no more those influence, and the Lord got me. It is a long story, the struggle I got through to be convinced. It was a whole night from 14th to 15th morning of May 1977. And in the morning, I surrendered and I wrote a letter to Jesus and I signed. I confessed all my life and I asked, can this one be forgiven? And the other one, what is the true religion that leads to heaven straight? And the answers came. After 1 week, I received a package of a pamphlet from a city, capital city of the neighboring country, and the answer, one pamphlet was saying, this is the answer. There were many, and I picked that one I read, and the answer was, someone came from heaven. He was interested in none else than finding those who are lost, called sinners. Are you one of them? Inside I said, yes, I am. He came to provide a way out, to save you, to pay for your sins. Only believe in him, you have found the true religion, you have found life and eternity, you are good to go. And this is what convinced me I have made the right choice. And then correspondence between my friend and myself that encouraged me. That friend was experienced in salvation for the last 6 years, those time. And then it happened. Kwa kuwa nilikuwa ngumu, she sent my name to all prayer groups in the land. And people prayed for me. The next year, there was a youth camp. When I appeared there, I was invited. I found like I was known. And yet, they didn't show me until I confessed to be born again. So, in my experience, there is this good, strong hand of God convincing me, and my availability, my search, my way of saying, I'm not doing well. I am not in the right position. But also, an intervention of someone to inject some guidance in my life. So both work together. You search for God. He's available. He's found. He can do it direct. But there are ways where just to implement, you need a push by your neighbor. So when Jesus says, love God, but also don't forget your neighbor, it is all that I have just mentioned. Coming back to our text, the Pharisees confronting Jesus. Jesus, in his context, he says, hypocrites. When you go and read the passage, the following, especially in Mark 7, 8 to 9 and beyond, they said they are following God, Jehovah, and they were teaching others to follow him. But Jesus was telling them, you have lowered the standard expected of you. When the Lord say, obey your parent, you say, that which I had to help my parent with, it is dedicated to God. What is your first priority? So they were following their traditions, setting aside the law, the commands of God. People who tend to ignore the word of God tragically lack understanding. They try to understand the word and interpret it and apply it, but they will give priority to what doesn't have weight, to their own traditions and also other things. And such are those now in Proverbs 14 from verse 6 downward. When you analyze whatever is contained, you find that those are called mockers, fools in verse 7, wicked in verse 11, and it is contrasted with those who are discerning, prudent, and upright. The first category lack wisdom and knowledge. They are deceived and they are heading to destruction. But the second category of the discerning, the prudent, the upright, they distinguish themselves by the wisdom and knowledge that make them flourish and their life really bears fruit. Therefore, we are all advised to seek wisdom and associate with the right people who add value to our life. The way that seems easy or right to a man may offer many options, like quick solutions, shortcuts, and what they can call success without sacrifice. We see in many of our big offices, people to get services there, it is like it has become a rule. You part with some chitu chidogo or chikuba or whatever, chochote. Or you pay in another kind, favors, so that you get service. Those are those shortcuts. Those are those things looking like kawaida, but look at the end. Nowadays, what do we see in our society? People, they just suspect betrayal in one way or another. They go straight for that one. Finish. Others, they turn even to their own families and finish even the innocent children just because they suspect there is something fishy going on in my family, because people are not open for advice, for counsel, and also don't fear God at all. God's people, even ourselves, are constantly in danger of being influenced by worldly considerations or ungodly counsel. And Isaiah 30 verse 1 to 2 says, "Woe to the rebellious or obstinate children that say, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." Woe to those, even in the house of God. Peer pressure. Seeking counsel to one who is not endowed with wisdom. God has provided a teacher called wisdom. And you can read the chapter of Proverbs 8. You will find very good saying. And I pick a few verses there. I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power. says wisdom. Who is wisdom? The whole Bible portrays that Jesus alone stands for wisdom. He is the wisdom incarnate. Verse 20 says, wisdom says, I walk in the way of righteousness along the path of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. The search for wisdom will bring us to the right path of truly relating with God and with all fellow human. The true worship of God will consist in the engagement of heart and mind in worship and in spiritual exercise, as well as in the practical outworking of services in life, services to your fellow mankind, such as the practice of social justice, business integrity, true love, and active concern of the poor and oppressed, and the upholding of truth and honesty in all civil affairs. You may do an extra mile by offering help to your neighbor who may be walking on a treacherous path and give an advice for a better alternative. But advice will be received, there are potential, it will be received, but it can also be ignored or rejected. So the best position is one who needs that advice to make the step to request advice, to request a counsel. Because we have this opportunities, options of counseling, mentoring, they are there, coaching, guiding, caregiving, mediating, conflict resolution, and others of the kind. And people are trained, are experienced, have seen a lot in life. So those who are ahead of you in age, in experience, in education, in opportunities, they can be a good resource to you. Go to them as long as you have a need. And if they are Christians, like the Word of God tells us, and Christians are those who love God with all their heart, their mind, and their strength, and also add to that to love their neighbor as themselves. If they are Christians, they will offer that advice. They will not close their heart to you because they know that is their duty. There is an African proverb, I know it in my language, which sound like yours. Umutwe umwe ntiwifasha gusara ntiwifasha gusaba. Umutwe umwe, one head, one mind, help itself to run mad, but cannot help itself to get a bride. Do you have a proverb similar? Something. The English one, parallel to that, is one tree cannot make a forest. You have that one in Kikuyu, isn't it? So, you may be proud to stand like me, really, my youth was terrible. I felt I am self-content because I was the very first one to go to high school from my village, my area, my location, ever since creation. I passed class 6 alone, male, among 45 in the class, only one passed to high school, that was me. In the village, everybody expected I come back after 1 year. Until I finished the whole cycle, I was always passing. So then I could look down at others. beginning from Dorulo until when I came to town, I felt I am tall, and there are many people who are short. So when God transformed me, I love short people, and you know, you have a witness. So, friends, you cannot be self-contained ever. You need somebody. And God has them in store. He has provided. They are there. And really, when you benefit from the advice, you will never forget in your life that advice, how important it has been in your life. And the other proverb says, Proverbs 13, verse 20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. It is up to us to make our decisions. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another man. So this word is inspired. It is there for us to learn from it. Why is it there if you don't take advantage of it and apply it to your life? Therefore, that is now the conclusion in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing it. And David put this petition in Psalm 17:18. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. So even aged people can be useful. Approach them. They are ready to pass on a bit of wisdom in their own experiences. Paul instructed to Timothy what we read. He gave him a commandment as an example of himself, chapter 2, verse 2. All the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. So, do we have reliable men and women? Are you ready to pass on the baton to the next generation and instruct them to pass the same baton to the next generation under them, so that man of God be fully equipped and ready to serve and to honor God following the scriptures, as Colossians 3:16-17 says. May the Lord bless you, friends, and make you to decide either ready to serve, to give advice, to accompany, to mentor, or seek advice where you need. Because one tree cannot make a forest. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.